people to be even less interested than at other times, isn't it, Lalita? Also in Denmark. Especially in Denmark. It's all over. Also in the, it's amazing, the Sankirtan goes up when the miseries goes up. In winter, it's the best time for doing Sankirtan. However, if the devotee becomes more intense, he can make up with the lack of determination of the conditioned souls. See, if the devotee becomes very intense in Krishna consciousness, he can control the minds of the kami. But if the devotee also gets musket brown, then it is a little difficult to control the minds of the conditioned soul. It is a very difficult. We have seen with Harinam Ananda Prabhu. Harinam Ananda Prabhu is now this week he distributed in the DDR. I think he will have done so many books we won't be able to believe our ears when we hear it. Have you heard? You are in contact with the results? Have you heard? What? Yes, please tell me. Harinam Ananda does very much. In the first week he came to Germany, we all thought it was impossible. It's summertime. He did... What? Over 1,000 books. Amazing, isn't it? Because he can control people's minds since he is so fixed. You heard when he was telling about in the Singha Chaturthi. Anyone was there of you? No? We had this nice Sankirtan meeting. Yeah. I was playing. Then we distribute many books, and then there will be many Mayapur cities, and then we will take over the world. It was like, do you remember? He was very fixed on this transcendental scheme. So, in this time of the year, we must be extremely fixed on our service. This is very important. Like in Berlin also, the devotees are extremely fixed. They have no place to stay, just some apartments of friends, because we had to leave our old temple. Now we are on a marathon to get a real big temple. Even we try to get a bigger temple than this one, even if possible. But it will be, I think it is possible. This is the best tip one should give. Fix your mind on your devotional service and try to make the build out the service. Those who are pujaris, those who are cooks, those who are farmers, just get your mind into surrender to the activity and make a revolution. And even if it doesn't happen, because of different reasons, inside there will be a revolution of Krishna consciousness taking place. Because Krishna is bhava jhana bhava grahi janarana. He accepts the bhava, the feeling of the devotees. He doesn't need pieces of matter. He accepts the feeling of the devotee, the intensity of the devotee. So in our Danish Sankirtan, I feel we can do a little better if we understand a little bit more about our duty in relationship to the conditioned souls, and if we understand we must be very fixed up, especially this time of the year, chant very, very nice, read and discuss and have nice Vaishnava Sangha, then we will become quite powerful and we can use the summertime blues of the conditioned soul. It's called Summertime Blues, this song, which always runs in my head when I come to the summertime. It's amazing, my English, I learned English from singing worldly songs as a kami when I was 17 years old, and whenever I use the terminology I, because I have a good memory somehow, it comes. So when the summertime blues is there, we must be very determined in our Krishna Mitvetande, our Krishna consciousness. Is this a Danish word actually, Krishna Mitvetande, or is it Swedish? But Swedish and Danish is almost same, isn't it? Some Bewusstheit. Yes, Krishna Bewusstheit. So, Hare Krishna. If we just continue this life, be a little austere for the pleasure of our spiritual master, we will do wonderful service for Krishna, not fall down in the mind, in the summertime mood. Do wonderful. You can see that Denmark has such a nice future. We have such a wonderful temple, very nice devotees. And I remember it was quite difficult for us to do something in Denmark. Whenever we went for book distribution from Germany, we had English books, they just sent us back at the border. It was amazing. I couldn't understand that. Why are they so heavy? They didn't want us to break into the empire of sense gratification. But now even we have Danish devotees who speak the language Bevisthet and everything. Copenhagen itself is such a city, you can just preach from morning till night, distribute from morning till night. So many people, isn't it? Quarter of Denmark lives in here. And people are very jolly. I think it's easy to communicate with the people. They're a little friendly, isn't it? So now we should do something wonderful. What is the use of having taken birth in Denmark if we don't do something wonderful? The Vikings were doing something. Vikings, are they from Denmark or from Sweden actually, isn't it? Yeah, so now I think our Sankirtan group is called Vishnupads Vikings, or? Also, not yet. Doesn't matter. The mood can be the same. And if we become very strong, see, the world looks at Denmark, because although it is a small place, it is the empire of sense gratification. People know in Denmark, in Germany, when I was a kami, I thought, boo, one day I will go to Denmark and become a dog. Then when I travel back to Germany, I will be normal again. So if we become quite enthusiastic here, it shows something wonderful. And everything can be done. We can do Harinam, book distribution. We have no problem with the authorities. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Do you have any question? Our Manu Shrestha had one question from yesterday. So let us see if there is contents, questions, and then we get to yours. Yeah. Yes, Prabhus? Don't be afraid.
It's about beauty in Krishna consciousness. Why, as a devotee, one may have like certain inclination or desire to serve Krishna. So that desire that is manifested may actually be what the devotee is supposed to do, or may also be something that's not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So how should one actually act?
If one has a certain desire to serve Krishna in a certain way, then this is very wonderful. And our authorities always try to recognize this desire. When there is time, they usually encourage someone to act according to his desire to serve Krishna. Maybe because we also work according to necessity. When there is a necessity, we sometimes do what is necessary, and we may not be able to work according to our desire. But usually, if we want to sincerely do it for Krishna, it will be done. Krishna also wants to take what we want to give him. He's interested. What do you want to do? Mostly the problem is that devotees don't, they just have a certain idea, and they then try to dedicate it to Krishna. This is not good. For instance, someone likes to play, likes to have rock and roll. Then he goes on a tilak head. Don't ever do no shame. This is not that we really want to sing this for Krishna, because he really doesn't need this, you know. But we do it just to, you know, to let the subhuman instincts play a little bit. I think we have one bhakta here, right? He thinks like this. So that sometimes is difficult. Sometimes Krishna might not want that we get into this, but we like to. I like to only drive cars for Krishna. This is not very serious talk. But if there is someone, like, give you a practical example, Asraja. He used to be. So I remember one day I was, we were always sleeping at the same place. You know, we were sleeping neighbors, because both of us were in the habit to go later to bed, he because of his service and I because of my translation work. So we slept, so sometimes we overheard each other's talking in dreams. So he was sometimes saying, Krishna, I want to give you this crown. It is not me who doesn't want it. I know you want this crown, and I also want to give you this crown, but you don't give me any money. So what can I do? I want to do. You have all the riches in the world. You just give me money. Then I buy a crown. Best crown from Vrindavan. See, this is called desire. That he, one day Asraja woke me up. I was shouting in the dream, where are the Afghanistani bhaktas? Why is no one joining here in Afghanistan? I was in my dream preaching in Afghanistan, and I was getting frustrated because no one joined. So he woke me up and said, Hare Krishna, calm down, you are here in Germany. Try to make some German bhaktas, but don't shout. You have to. So if we want to preach or do something for Krishna, usually our managers will recognize this desire if it is a pure desire. But the problem is sometimes we just want to do it ourselves on a tilak. We want to do it for ourselves.
So
yes, this is sometimes Krishna usually will reveal it over the years by how the devotee gets engaged. It's almost mystically that a devotee wants to do something for Krishna, Krishna gives him that, he fulfills him the desire. And a devotee who wants to do Maya, if he strongly wants to do Maya, then sometimes Krishna also fulfills that desire. But usually, it is described in the fifth canto, Krishna says, well, my devotee is a little foolish. He wants to enjoy materially. But I'm experienced, Krishna says. I'm experienced. And I won't fulfill his desires, which again will give rise to more material desires. Krishna, if a devotee is serious, Krishna will not fulfill desires which will give rise to more material desires. Therefore, sometimes he fulfills these desires only in a dream. Like a devotee may be attached to sex life, and all of a sudden he gets these crazy dreams. You know, the crazy dreams. And his dreams are fulfilled, his material desires are fulfilled, but only in a dream. He wakes up and thinks, whew, it was only a dream. Krishna saved me. Now let me chant Hare Krishna. And you know, now I know the nature of material desires. So Krishna is very kind. He sometimes shows the devotees the accumulated force of his material desires in a dream. This is described in the fourth canto. But he doesn't fulfill it in physical reality. So your question is, but your question is different. How does a devotee differentiate? Is this a material desire or is this a spiritual desire? This is actually the essence of your question.
Well, you also sometimes, I mean, nowadays, especially young devotees, but not very expensive.
Yeah. He should ask his spiritual master. That's why we have this institution, the spiritual master, and he will know if the relationship is bona fide. And this is a very important point. I just feel like wanting to make it. I didn't want to make it in the beginning. See, therefore, our devotees should be educated. The new devotees to choose their spiritual master carefully. It should not be a whimsy relationship. It should be a deep relationship, so that actually this point can come to pass, that the spiritual master will know his disciples, because it is a real guru-disciple relationship, and he will be able to tell him, now be careful, here is something which is dangerous. See, it is described here. One should fondle his son up to the point. No, here, Chanakya Pandi. La lane. This is leniency. Bahavo doshas tada tadane bahavo guna tasmat putram shashishyam cha tadayen natulalayet. Leniency encourages bad qualities in a student or son, and strictness helps develop good qualities. Therefore, a teacher or parent should not pamper a child, but administer punishment for bad behavior. The spiritual master will tell his disciple, no, don't do this. It is a material desire. And then if the relationship is good, the disciple will feel, oh, wonderful, my Guru Maharaj told me, how nice. But if we have not a good relationship to our spiritual master, think, why is he always so heavy? Doesn't he understand the human nature? So for distinguishing material desires from spiritual desires, we must go to the spiritual master. But before that, we can go to our authorities in devotional service, the Sankirtan leader or the temple president, so on. I'm not sure if I answered your question. Yeah? Good. Paragyan. This will be a very transcendental question. He usually loses, yes. Remedy is given by the four Kumaras. This question could not be not at all. The four Kumaras went with this question to Brahma and said two things. Either the senses are going out, reaching out to the sense objects, and one becomes attracted, or the mind, due to the memory, even if there are no sense objects, it goes to Maya and one becomes bewildered. So what to do? you understand, huh? Does this mean we have to be constantly in Maya? And Brahma said, sorry, can't answer this. I myself am fighting with this problem. So then the Hansa avatar came, the swan, alighted from the spiritual world, and he said, and he gave the answer. He said, but within this process of either going out, the senses reaching out, or the mind going back in the memory, you have to put Krishna in. Have to remember Krishna. When Krishna is there, it stops. It's just like, you know, like a water which goes both ways, this way and comes back this way, and the tide so the same way, the tide of sense gratification, either we rushing out or we rushing going back in our minds. Yes, so we have to put the, I think it's called floodgate. Is it called floodgate? We put the floodgate in, then it cannot go. And that's thinking of Krishna. So therefore, when you are out on Sankirtan, please do this. It is very, very nice. Chiranjeev Prabhu has ordered this for us. This is a verse book, Vaishnava verse book. All the important verses are in there. You can have it on Sankirtan, in your Sankirtan bag, and read. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. Good that I'm a devotee. I'm not. You know, you can immediately get a very... Verses are so nice, because in a condensed verse, a vast subject is given. And think of Krishna in this way. Yes?
What if a person who understands it, then what can be in this site?
The memory is coming.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to make trying to do it, but there you can feel that it's very strong.
It really depends. When you have a strong mind, it's easy. When you are tired, it is really difficult. But when you are strong, you can do a meditation. It is very difficult. You need to be a strong minder. You can understand that you are different from the thoughts. This is a trick I'm taking from the Buddhist tradition, but we also as Vaishnavas sometimes do this. It is called the Vipassita meditation. You understand how your mind is different from you. You can do this, not now, because now we have a different subject. We try to deal with this philosophically, but you can just go when you have your mind is going back and forth. Just understand how the thoughts are different from you. You observe them. You don't identify. You don't become disturbed if you think of some nonsense. You just observe them. Passive observer. And then, you usually can develop some detachment by just observing it. See, when, for instance, I give you a practical example. You go in Copenhagen, and there is a beauty queen next to her aged, old, and wasted mother. So, by observing this, you can understand, well, she will be also like this. Then why am I attracted? And usually a sense of detachment arises when you think like this. So in a similar way, similar analogous manner, we can observe the thoughts, our thoughts for sense gratification, and just separate ourselves from it. This is described in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We should not attach to illumination, that means enlightenment, and also not hate delusion. Sometimes devotees say, I'm so much in my... What I just thought. It's not advised. It takes a strong mind to do this. Just detach yourself in your mind by understanding you're not the mind. These thoughts are coming and going. Manushashta. Yes.
Prabhupada says that without the elevation of knowledge, sacrifices are simply material activities. So I was thinking that if we ask one person on the street to give a donation or something, then he makes a sacrifice without knowledge. But is there no spiritual benefit in that?
See, our sacrifice is a little different than the sacrifice which is discussed here. The sacrifice which is discussed here is more or less, it is a performance of certain activities which yield a result. Now, here someone gives Lakshmi Lulajit, and you were tired. Then we take this Lakshmi and we put it in Krishna's service. So by putting this Lakshmi in Krishna's service, the work of this person gets connected to the Sankirtan mission in an unknowing way. He is not knowing this, but it is, Prabhupada said, therefore try to get, if someone gives one pfennig to the movement of the Krishna consciousness movement, penny it's called, he will advancement, so therefore he will make advancement, so therefore try to get 10 pfennigs. ten pennies. It's because you are there as an agent of the transcendental world, Manu Shrestha, and you're taking the Lakshmi, putting it into Krishna's service, therefore he makes advancement. Yes. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the mere pronunciation of the syllables won't help, there are many different implications. One is that there is no sambandha gyan, no knowledge that I am Krishna's servant. Another implication is it won't help us to attain pure love of Godhead, the ultimate goal of chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also discusses mechanical chanting. He even discusses chanting which is done not only mechanical, which is done out of jest, of joke. Oh, look at these foolish Hare Krishnas. It is called Nama Bhasa chanting. There is a result in any case, but not pure love of Godhead, which is the goal of the chanting. When you're just chanting mechanically, then this won't come. However, this is nice that you put the question. this is from the Padma Purana. If you chant with offenses, and one offense is certainly this mechanic chanting, it's called inattention, which is the breeding ground of all offenses. It said you cannot chant if you chant with offenses. Therefore it is said you cannot help. It doesn't help. But the only way to overcome